Blog Talk Radio.
I'm done.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk Radio, this segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and that tune was by Karen White, titled Superwoman. Do you ever feel like a superwoman? Well, I have many a times, but I don't know. I'm sort of just a woman right now, but that's neither here nor there. Hope everybody had a beautiful week. And looking forward to the weekend, doing what you do. We have a very special guest this evening. First, I'm going to bring on my co-host. Good evening, Jadino. How you doing, darling?
Hey, I'm outstanding and terrific. Again.
Okay, all right. So how's your week been so far?
It's been one of them weeks, but, you know, I'm going to make it happen every day.
Right.
So I'll say it's a good week.
Right. What do you think of this mess in Ferguson? You know, what's that all about?
I was looking at, I saw some pictures of them today from the head up, and then they keep showing the video, and it's like giant, dude. It don't even look like the same person. But it's like they out of hand with they should have cameras. They should have cameras, because I'm not saying it'll fix everything. They're still cut down on a whole lot of their things twice, some of the stuff they do.
Right. It's just really sad. But, you know, my prayers are going up with the family and to anyone who is going through whatever they're going through with the police, with your neighbors, or any type of, you know, disturbance in your household or in your life. You know, I'm just praying up for you because, you know, this world is so messed up. Until, you know, it's pitiful.
Yeah.
But,
I got tired of seeing so much bad, so I started making up my own news. So I could be happy.
You know what?
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing because, you know, a lot of people dwell on sad things and it makes them sad and bring you down and depress you, you know, because all this news is really depressing. And, you know, I'm not really trying to ignore what's going on, but I just don't have time to dwell on things that are happening because it's only going to bring me down, make me depressed, and I'm a happy person. So all I can do is pray for the people who are going through whatever they're going through, but I got to keep me happy. You understand? So that's a good thing. Just do whatever it is you continue to do and, you know, keep yourself happy because you are the only one that can make yourself happy. People can enhance it for you, but believe it or not, you're the only one who can make yourself happy. So keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And we're going to get this show on the road. We have a very special guest this evening. It's MJ Summers. She currently resides in Canada, not far from the Rocky Mountains, with her husband, three young children, and their goofy dog. When she's not writing erotic novels, she loves running, reading, going for long dinners with her girlfriends, swimming, and camping with her family. MJ Summers has arrived as a fresh new presence in the contemporary romance genre. She is making a name for herself by breaking all the rules of romance. Her debut novel, Break Into, instantly became an Amazon bestseller around the globe. Her highly anticipated follow-up, Breaking Love, is due out in November. You won't want to miss it. While you're waiting, she has written a sweet romantic novella, Don't Let Go, coming in July 22nd, 2014. So naturally, July the 22nd is gone, so that book is here, that novella. So without further ado, we're going to bring in MJ Summers so we can get this show on the road. Oh, let me bring in my other co-host. Sorry. Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
Good evening. How are you? How's everybody?
Fantastic. You heard me just go over our guest's bio, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm
so we get
forward to her being on for tonight.
Right. So we're getting ready to bring her in and get this show on the road, okay?
All right.
Good evening, MJ. How are you?
I am fine, Gail. How are you?
I am just fantastic, darling. Tell us a little bit about MJ growing up.
Oh, sure. Well, I grew up in a small kind of, a fairly small city close to a larger urban center in Alberta in Canada. And just a pretty normal, you know, typical childhood, I guess you could say. I have an older sister who's 2 years older, and I just love to read and play piano and dancing, those sorts of things when I was growing up. So, and lots of good friends, and, you know, just being in a smaller community, you know, you could bike all over town and your parents didn't have to worry about you and, you know, those sorts of things. So it was really nice.
Oh, okay. Now, your name is MJ. Do those initials stand for anything, or is that just your name, MJ?
You know, actually, well, M is for Melanie, which is my name, and J is actually my husband's first initial. And when I created the MJ Summers persona, as far as creating a pen name and those types of things, I thought it would be nice to bring him into the fold, because he's been extremely supportive of what I've been doing. And it's, of course, been a really time-consuming sort of undertaking. So I thought it would be nice to honor him that way. And also, you know, he's a pretty romantic person and, you know, just the love of my life. So I really wanted to add him to it. So that's how we came up with that.
That is really cool. That is so cool. You know, that's the first time I've ever heard of someone, you know, coming up with a name like that to use as a pseudonym for their writings or whatever. That's really cool. MJ Summers.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, now, your first novella, your first book was a novella, right? The, what was it? Breaking Two was your debut novel, I'm sorry.
Right, that's right,
how did you get to, do you do any other genre besides erotica, or do you just started out doing erotica?
That's actually the very first fictional anything that I've ever done, was Break Into. I had written some training manuals before in my previous government job, and that was really it for my writing experience until I decided to write a romance novel last year. So it's very new to me. All of this is very, very new to me.
Wow. Okay. Now, Break Into, can you tell us a little bit about this and the main characters?
Sure. Okay. Well, Break Into is set in Colorado Springs. It's just outside of Colorado Springs on a ranch. And it's about a young man, Cole Mitchell is his name, and he is trying to turn the ranch around. His parents had it as a guest ranch for a number of years, and it, you know, when the economy, you know, turned bad and the recession hit, they weren't getting as many guests, and so he realized that they needed to make it more of a luxury ranch in order to attract the people who were still traveling, which of course, you know, was the more rich sort of clientele that, you know, were doing okay in spite of the recession. So he realized that they needed to, you know, they needed to have better cuisine, and so he's looking for a chef, and that's where he meets Claire Hatley. And Claire is a chef who had been living in Seattle for a number of years with her boyfriend Antonio, and she just found out that he's been cheating on her with a hostess from her restaurant. And so she decides she needs to get out of Seattle, and she sees an ad for this guest ranch in Colorado, and she decides to just pack everything up and leave and start over again. And of course, you know, she comes face to face with the sexiest man to ever ride a horse, which is Cole. So, yeah.
Wow. So it's more or less a Western sort of like scene is there, right? Because it's in the Colorado mountains, I assume. And, you know, you mentioned he was, she met him, the best looking man to ride a horse. So how did you come up, how did you get the concept, and how did your characters develop?
Well, basically, I decided I wanted to try writing a romance novel and, you know, something really steamy. And I thought, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a try. And, you know, was trying to think, well, what kind of characters would I like to read about? And you know, what kind of characters do women generally want to read about? And when I was thinking about, you know, like a hero for the story, you know, I thought a lot of women really love a good cowboy, you know, with the with the ruggedness, but and yet the you know, also the sense of chivalry that is sometimes missing today. And so I decided to go with a cowboy, but they're also living in a modern age, you know, where, you know, they text each other and, you know, he's running a business as well. So he's a smart cowboy too. He's got, you know, he's been to college, he's got his business degree, he's got a good head on his shoulders. But he also is, you know, tough and rugged and all of that stuff too, so.
Oh, okay. Now, I do understand that Breaking 2 was also an Amazon bestseller around the globe. How did that come about, and how did you feel, and how did you find that out? Because I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes when people say their book was a bestseller at Amazon, what makes it a bestseller, and how does it get to that point?
Right. Well, that's an excellent question. When I didn't know the answer to it either. When the book went on sale in November, when I first launched it, it was November 6th of last year, and I actually wasn't too sure either. So I kind of started doing some research on what makes something a bestseller, because it was probably about maybe a week and a half into sales that it hit the number one spot on Amazon under Western romance. Mm-hmm. And that happened in the United Kingdom, Canada, and the United States. And it stayed there for, I don't know, at least 6 weeks as the number one in that genre. And then it started to... you know, climb in Australia. It was doing really well once they actually got their own version of Amazon. It was doing really well in the Western category there as well. And because it sat there so long as the number one book in that genre, and also it ended up in the United States, in January, it sat in the top 100 paid in the Kindle store for... I want to say it was 3 or 4 weeks that it was up there. It got as high as number 43 out of all the books on sale on Amazon. And it actually for about a 4-day period, I was selling a book every minute. So I, you know, think that's sort of when something sits. I read a few things that said, well, if something, you know, sits as a bestseller, where it actually shows that on Amazon, where when you would look up the book, it had the little red tag next to it that said bestseller. It does that for, you know, a period of a few weeks, then you can call it a bestseller.
So it depends on the sale of the book that makes it a bestseller. Am I correct?
That's how I interpreted it. I mean, I wouldn't call myself an expert on that, but that's how I interpreted it. And my I have a PR a PR rep in England, and you know that's how he sort of categorizes these things as well. So he works with a number of indie authors, And well, I think you spoke with him, Nick Whale.
Yeah.
And so he kind of, you know, we kind of looked at it and said, well, can we call it a bestseller? And you know, it certainly, because it stayed at the top of the Western romance genre for so long, we felt like, you know, we were pretty comfortable calling it a bestseller.
Okay. Did you self-publish this book, or did you have a publisher?
I self-published it, just on Amazon, actually. I wanted to try that KDP Select program where you get the higher royalties from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did with that book. And so currently it's published only under me, you know, my own publishing company. But I have gotten a book deal, well, like a 4-book deal in Canada as well as the UK, Australia, and New Zealand mm-hmm. for that book, as well as 3 more. And so I won't be, solely an indie author at this point. I will be considered, I guess they call it hybrid now, where, you know, because in the United States I'm still going to be self-publishing, and in other territories, Mexico, Germany, France, you know, all over Europe, basically, India, all of those places I'll still be self-published, mm-hmm. but I will have traditional publishers in these other territories. So it's been, I'm extremely lucky that way. Extremely lucky, for sure.
Okay, your books that are going to India, Germany, a place like that, they translate it, right, to their language, or is it still English?
It is still English at this point, because it's just on the Amazon store. I do have, I have had some interest from publishers in Italy, Brazil, and Germany who would like to purchase the rights and actually, you know, to translate the book. And so I have an agent now, so she is working on that to see, you know, if we can come to a deal in some other territories. So that would be incredible to, you know, get a copy of my book in a language I can't read. I think that would be pretty neat. So,
yeah,
for sure. Have it on the shelf.
You already know what the book is about. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's marvelous. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, so what is the book doing now? Is it coming down the ladder, or is it still up there, or where is it at now?
Well, it has moved down, certainly, since I think it stayed doing really, really well from November until like the end of March kind of thing. And then, you know, you do see the sales drop off. And in part, my own marketing work that I was doing, I basically stopped doing any marketing for quite a few months while I was writing books 3 and 4. Or sorry, books 2 and 3, and so I mean, you know, I wasn't doing anything to help sales at all, and partly, you know, because it was really just on Amazon, and so, you know, I think each title appeals to a finite number of people, you know, and we're just talking about one store, you know, mm-hmm. and the same group of customers keep going to that store, and at some point, you know, you've kind of hit all the people who are interested in reading about a cowboy. So, mm-hmm. So I think that might be where we got to, you know, as far as just Amazon goes. So,
okay. And instead of going the traditional publishing way, what made you self-publish?
Well, you know, to be honest, I never considered traditional publishing. It's just so highly competitive to even get an agent, and I've never written anything. And, you know, prior to Break-In 2, I hadn't written anything. And so, you know, doing a little bit of research after I started writing it, I realized, well, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are doing self-publishing, and it seems like the way to go. If you are an unknown person, you don't have an enormous following on your blog. You don't have a level of fame. You know, if you're a celebrity, you can probably get a book deal quite easily.
Right.
But, you know, but if you're an unknown stay-at-home mom from Alberta who has never written anything, you should probably self-publish. So that
right.
was kind of how I decided to do that. And luckily, it worked out really well. So, yeah.
Right, because I self-published my fifth book, but my other books, I was with a independent publishing company. And
mm-hmm.
being with that publishing company, I learned quite a bit. So I'm kind of glad that I did go the traditional way from the beginning because, you know, you know, when I wrote my very first book to be published, I really didn't even know what I was doing because I was just writing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting some excerpts on MySpace when MySpace was popular
mm-hmm.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
And a
mm-hmm.
young lady had approached me and asked me, did I think about getting it published? And, you know, it never crossed my mind. How do you do it? You know, what do you do? The people you see, this and that. So she had eventually introduced me to my then publisher. And, you know, like I said, I'm glad that I went that way because some people who self-publish books who don't know what they're doing, it could be a complete disaster. Not to say that a person can't just go on and self-publish from the beginning, but if you don't know what you're doing, you know, as far as like getting your target audience together, getting your team together, getting your, you know, it's just different things to it opposed to just
mm-hmm.
sitting down and writing a book. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That is just my take on, you know, dealing
mm-hmm.
with publishers. But it's just something that I learned along the way. So now I, you know, I self-publish my own books, and plus I am a publisher as well. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would tell anybody, you know, only for my own reference how I came about it, you know, it's good to get a publisher, you know, work with the publisher for your first book and,
mm-hmm.
you know, get some lessons or whatever. But, you know, sometimes people just go out there and just do it on their own, you know, and there's nothing wrong
mm-hmm.
with that, you know, nothing
mm-hmm.
at all. And
mm-hmm.
I commend you for that, you know, because some people, you know, just can't do that, you know, especially
well,
if it's your first time.
Well, that's, you know, that is it. And I think what happens for a lot of people is that, I mean, you have to, you know, to write a book, you know, you're using the really creative part of your mind, and then
mm-hmm.
to market and publish a book, you need to be a businesswoman. And
right.
And so I think that's where a lot of people struggle is, you know, they can be such talented artists and they need somebody to take over the business side of it. And
mm-hmm.
for me, I don't know. I mean, I don't consider myself, you know, a real artist necessarily, but I think that I may have I have an affinity to doing marketing, certainly as well as I love writing. So for me,
mm-hmm.
it was you know, I had to stop writing back in September. You know, I finished up writing the novel, and then I had to just delve into learning everything I could about self-publishing and about marketing. And, you know, I probably went through a period of, well, it was a good month where I only slept about 3 or 4 hours a night and
mm-hmm.
was just constantly working. When I wasn't looking after my kids, I was, you know, I would get them to bed and then I would be up working until, you know, 2 in the morning, get up at 5 or 6 in the morning, get back to work until my kids woke up, just trying to learn everything I could about the process of selling books and you know, actually the, you know, how to upload the files even to Amazon and do all of those things. And so
right.
So if you're able to get a publisher, you know, to help you with that and take over some of those things, I think that would have been amazing to have somebody right from the start to guide you and,
right.
and you know, yeah. Yeah.
Right, because what I did, I just wrote the book and,
mm-hmm.
you know, sent her the files, and she edited, she formatted it. You know, everything, all I did was write it, write the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, then she did everything else, and, you know, as far as the marketing and things like that, I had already had a fan base and, you know, a lot of people waiting for my books to come out. And
wow.
And I did a book sign. I did my first book signing in 2000, I think it was 2010, because my first book came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I did four books with my ex-publisher. And then, like
mm-hmm.
I said, I just published my first book for my publishing company, under my publishing company. So it is a process. It
mm-hmm.
definitely is a process. And, you know, I try to let people know who inquire about the services. You know, it's just not anything that, you know, being a publisher is something that, it's not a easy job, let's just put it like
no.
that, because it's just more
mm-hmm.
intel to it than people actually think,
mm-hmm.
you know, being
mm-hmm.
a publisher. And I've had clients that were not too pleasant, and I had clients that were, mm-hmm. you know, just inquisitive about things, and, you know, it's just things
mm-hmm.
that... they don't understand, you know,
mm-hmm.
but nevertheless, I'm going to keep my publishing company if I don't publish any books under it but my own, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot of things working with my other publisher, you know, and some publishers
oh, yeah.
are kind of shady and some of them are kind
mm-hmm.
of lazy and, you know, they just have
mm-hmm.
these things about them that wasn't too presentable to me. This is the reason why I had basically
mm-hmm.
started my own publishing company anyway, because I've lost that trust. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I just had to do my own thing, and that's what I did. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But,
wow.
You know,
well, and good for you honestly, that's, I mean, to start your own company and then actually take on, you know, other aspiring writers, that would be an enormous undertaking for sure. Because I know for myself, I felt like I just, you know, launching it at first, I just felt like I just needed somebody to take me under their wing and just do everything for me. And, you know, I didn't have that, but I could see, you know, it would have been wonderful to have. And on the other side of it, I think it would be really hard to be that person who is answering all the questions and looking after a new author who's you know, has no idea what's going on. So,
right, right. And then you
yeah.
also, when you're a publisher, you need a team. And my
mm-hmm.
ex-publisher, she really was doing, like, everything, you know, so she was, like, burnt out, so to speak, because you just can't do everything by yourself. You know, she was doing the editing, she was doing the formatting and you know, just doing everything by herself. And I have a team, so I don't have to go, you know, worry about editing because I'm not an editor, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Formatting,
mm-hmm.
I don't format books. You know, I basically
mm-hmm.
get the manuscripts and go over them and make sure that they're published worthy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, my job is still not an easy thing to do, because you get somebody's manuscript and you read it through and through, then they turn around and tell you, well, I'm not ready. You know, it's just been so many things that I've been sent through, you know, with these up-and-coming authors. They want their books out there, and they send me their manuscript, and I read it. Sometimes it may take me 2 or 3 days to read a manuscript, sometimes longer, depending on what other things I have to do. And, you know, then I finish it and, you know, get back with them, and they come up with some story. Well, I don't know, I'm not ready right now, you know, but I set some rules, and, you know, just learning from different experiences with, you know, different people who have issues when it comes to not being able to pay up or don't want to pay up, don't want to listen,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's just so many things I had to learn and get in order. And, you know, hopefully, well, not hopefully, now my business is running so much better, you know, for me, because, you know, you learn things as you go along. You learn something new every day, and I'm definitely learning as I go along.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much to actually find out about in the publishing world, and things are changing so fast. And, you know, with ebooks and with now with the subscription services, you know, that these big companies are putting out, that is completely changing the landscape. And so, you know, even from November when I published my first book, everything has just suddenly changed again. And so so there's more things to keep an eye on and to learn about and to figure out. And, yeah, it's a lot more than just writing and then, you know, getting back to your desk and writing some more. It is.
Right.
I'm surprised at how much of my time is spent with, you know, trying to figure out the behind-the-scenes stuff.
And then people don't realize that, you know, the time that goes into everything that you do, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight. You know, you have to take your time. You have to be sure. And the book goes through a number of hands in my company. So, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Way up high. love you, New York, and I'll be back real soon.
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
All right. Thank you. That was Patti LaBelle, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Diva. Miss Diva. All right. We're right back here with our special guest, MJ Summers. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. All right. We're right back here. Okay, MJ, your second book, Breaking Love, can you give us a little bit on that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Breaking Love is picks up with one of the characters from Break-In 2, right where we leave him on New Year's Eve. His name is Luke. And he is from France, and he is a nightclub owner and has a lot of real estate holdings as well. So he is sort of a wealthy, sophisticated, mysterious sort of character. And he's also people who have read the first book either loved him or they hated him, because he's a person who really speaks the truth, whether mm-hmm. people want to hear it or not. And a lot of times he says what you know, somebody needs to hear, even though they don't want to. And so he is he's the hero in the second book, and he's a real ladies' man and you know, perpetually single kind of guy. And he meets a beautiful single mom who is from the United States, and she's been single for a number of years. She has one son, Elliot, who is a precocious 6-year-old boy, and Megan is her name, is the main character in the second book, and Megan has sworn off men for the rest of her life, so she's happy with a good book and a glass of wine and her battery-operated boyfriend. So she is not interested in falling in love ever again after her marriage ended. And so, of course, they meet and they find each other very hard to resist. And they have to make those decisions about whether, you know, it's worth the risk to try again or whether they should, you know, just leave it after a one-night stand sort of thing. So so that's the second book. And I think it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's got some, you know...
So it's almost
course,
like
all
a sequel
my,
to this.
So you're writing a series? Is that what you're doing?
It is a series, yeah. It's called the Full Hearts series, and there are going to be four books in the series, and it will basically take a character who, you know, one or two characters that were in a previous book, and it will be... You know, the next book will star those characters, and so that's the second book. But each book is a standalone, so you know, so you wouldn't have to read Breaking Love after reading Breaking Two to find out what happens to the main characters in Breaking Two. Their story is told fully and completely in Breaking Two, as is the story of Megan and Luke in Breaking Love. So, and the third novel, which I just finished writing, on Thursday at 1:30 in the morning, the third novel is called Breaking Clear, and that one is about Megan's best friend. So from the second book, her very best friend, Harper, has her story in the third book. So, and then the very last book of the series, I have a start on it, but that one is called Breaking Hearts, and it actually picks up with two characters from the first book, from Breaking Two, one of them is actually the villain in Breaking Two. And her name is Gabriella. She's a sexy Brazilian, and so the fourth book is going to pick up her life a few years later, as well as another character from Breaking Two, which I don't really want to say right now because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read Breaking Two. So,
well, all right,
yeah.
Wow. So, Jadino, do you have any questions for MJ?
I'm here.
Do you have any questions?
I don't know. When she said she writes it in a series, so like, does she go back and forth like flashes, like to make sure her fans is keeping up with the book, or do you write them straight out?
Well, I.
You know what I mean?
I think so. So, are you meaning does the second book, for example, kind of flash back to things that you needed to know from the first book?
Right,
So
if I picked up your second book, I could kind of still be, like if I didn't read the first one, I could just still kind of know what's going on.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, definitely, okay. Because actually the stories are so separate. I mean, it's taking a character that you know, if you've already read the first book, you would already have a sense of that character, but there's nothing that is going to happen in any of the books that you would have had to have read one of the other ones first. There's a good order to read them in terms of, I think, how people would enjoy the stories the best as far as getting to know the characters and not spoiling the story. If you read them out of order, I think it might spoil the story a little bit. But if you just picked up any one of the series and you thought, okay, I'm only going to read one of these books, and you picked it up, you would know exactly what's going on. There would not be any confusion, I don't think, for someone.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And you say you just finished Breaking Clear, 3:00 in the morning.
Yeah, really late. Yes, really late. Well, it was funny when I was finishing writing it. You know, it's you know, their romance, right? So, I mean, they have their happily ever after, but I was writing and crying, and then I was thinking the next morning, was I crying because I was so tired? Is this book, is it actually good? Or am I just so tired that I'm crying? So, I don't know. I'll have to find out when people read it to see if it's as good as I thought it was, you know, in the middle of the night.
So are these books, are these novellas?
They're all novels. They're books. Like my first book.
No, novellas. Are they novellas or are they, you know, a regular book?
They are regular books. Yep. They're regular.
Okay.
So there's only one short story, which is Don't Let Go. And and the other ones are all long books. So like Break In Two is 127,000 words. Yeah, so I think it comes out to, you know, 400 and some pages in print.
Wow.
And so they're all long stories. They're complete stories. I didn't really want to do cliffhangers. Originally, I was going to make Break In Two a real cliffhanger, and I had sent it to a beta reader in Chicago, and she finished the first half of it, where I was intending to leave the story, and she emailed me back and just wrote, "You bitch." And so she said, "It's a cliffhanger." So she said, "I hate you." And so, so I said, "Oh, we don't want the cliffhanger then?" So she said, "Finish the story. Tell me the whole story. If I'm buying the book, I want the whole thing." And, you know, I think she was right. And when I look at my reviews on Amazon, I do notice a lot of people do mention the fact that it's a standalone book and that you know that there isn't a cliffhanger. So, because I think that's really common now, right, to have a series where it really drops the reader off a ledge and, you know, make them wait for a few months to find out what happens, you know. But, so I decided to go with her advice, which was to make them, standalone and to tell the whole story, get it done. And so when people close the book or they, you know, shut off their Kindle or you know, their iPad, they can have that nice sigh of relief and go, instead of what a bitch to do this to us. So, yeah.
Right. I understand that because my very first book I wrote was, people were telling me that they wanted more. So it will. I don't know if it was really a cliffhanger. Well, it was a little cliffhanger left to it, but from my perspective, it was like more or less the end of the story because you could sit there and say, okay, but they were saying, no, what happened? I need to know what happened to Nina, what happened to this, what happened to that, blah, 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 blah. So then I wrote the sequel, and oh, my goodness, the sequel, they want a sequel to that. But eventually, maybe a few years from now, I am going to do the final to that first book because people are still asking for, you know, more. And in the last book, it was a little cliffhanger, I guess, you know, but that's just how I write. I leave people with something to chew on, you know, and so that's that. Even like this last book, the one that I published under my company, Back to Zero, people are saying, is there going to be a part two? No, there's not going to be a part two to this book. At least I don't see me writing a part two. Then again, I may. But, you know, right now it's the story is it's ended, you know, and it was a very good story. I had people calling me, telling me that, you know, they were in tears and, you know, they really felt sorry for the good guy and the bad guy. They really wanted to kill him and, you know, just pouring their emotions out, you know, and that makes me feel good because it lets me know that people can connect to whatever I write and not bragging or anything. I know that I'm a good storyteller because I've been doing this since I was 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just what I do. That was my blessing from God. Even though I was diagnosed with dyslexia, I didn't let that hold me back. But, you know, everybody has their little crosses to bear. And I know that I'm a wonderful and great storyteller. I can turn this conversation into a book, you know, but that's just how I write, you know, and you have to give the people something to chew on. you know.
Right.
So that's really good that, you know, the people are just wanting more and more. But like I said, when I do this last sequel to the other two books, it's going to be it. And it's going to say at the end, no more. This is it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
No matter what people are wanting.
Right. Because you know it. Right. You get to a point where you can, because I see where so many people have all these sequels and sequels and sequels, and then you read them, you get lost. You know, you get kind of lost in them because they bring in these different characters in, and one guy, for instance, he had a book. Now, this was a whole different story, but it was a character in another book that I had read. And I'm just saying, how did he even get into this story? But, you know, I guess people, that's how they do. But my sequels basically carry the same characters, you know, and, you know, it gives you something that happened from the past up to the present to when, you know, and then it does flashbacks, as Jadino had asked. My book does flashbacks, so if a person, you know, didn't read the first book, they can just read the second one, and that will let them know, you know, what's going on in the first book. But, you know, when I do this last one, that's going to be it. I'm putting it in the back. That's it. The end. No more. You know. Yeah, but you, you know, you got to give the people what they want, you know, because they're supporting me, and that makes me feel good. So, yeah, I understand, you know, you're doing the series, but some people have 7 and 8. No. I get kind of bored after a while because then it begins to seem like you're saying the same thing over and over from the very first novel. So you have to be very careful about that when you do sequels as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I find as a reader, too, I find if there are, you know, so many characters to keep track of in a story, I do find myself getting confused. And I don't know if that's just getting older or if it's just really that it's confusing.
It confuses you because, you know, you're reading. And then I've even read a book where in the beginning the character was one person, and then they had somehow, I guess it was a mistake on the writer's, on the author's part, the character's name had changed, and I'm saying, wait, where did this person come from? You know, and then as I read on, it got back to that person's name, but it really had nothing to do with the story, but, you know, sometimes you get lost like that, so you have to be very careful when you, you know, you do your sequels and even adding too many characters, because a story really doesn't have to have a lot of characters in it. It just needs a good guy, a bad guy, and, you know, a lot of people, well, not a lot, and then the people who are have their little appearances in the stories. So,
But, they have to be in the story for a reason, right?
Right. They definitely do. Yeah. You know, you breathe life into your characters and give them a meaning and a purpose, and that, you know, helps your story to go. If you just put a lot of characters in a book with no meaning, what is this person doing? Where did this person come from? You know, all of a sudden here comes Bobby, and you never read about Bobby. Where did Bobby come from? What is Bobby's purpose here? You know, so.
Yeah.
You have to get your characters, line them up, give them a life and, you know, character, and, you know, work at it from there. You know, you don't have to overpack your book with a lot of characters, you know.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I agree. Just some really good, strong characters that people can relate to and either love or love to hate. And
Because in my first book, it was this character's name was Big Red. And on my reviews, everybody hated Big Red. He was a character that you love to hate. And eventually in the second sequel to the book, Big Red was murdered. And, so everybody was saying he got what he deserved. And, you know, people related to these characters in my book. I know somebody just like him. I know somebody just like her.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes me feel good to know that people can even relate to my characters, you know, and talk about them because I was someone had called me and they was talking, and I didn't know that they was talking about what they were talking about at first, because they say, "I am just so mad at him. He just makes me sick." I said, "Who are you talking about?" She said,
yeah.
"Big Red." I said, "Big Red." I said, "Girl, you calling me talking to me about that?" And we just went on and on and on and on, because she had read the book, you know, and was very highly emotional behind Big Red, because Big Red was the villain in the book, and he was definitely a villain. He was just terrible, you know. But so get your characters lined up. You know, you have to put a lot of them in there, you know. So, and your books are really good, straight to the point, and, be waiting for Breaking Clear.
Right.
Yeah, see what that's going to be all about. Well, would you like to let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and how they can get your books?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm available on Amazon for people to they can look up my name and look up MJ Summers and they'll see my author page there and the two stories that I have on sale right now, and then if people are listening from the UK or Australia or New Zealand, they can go on to the Hachette UK website, and they can search my name and find me there, and there's all the different buy links that they've got for the various, you know, e-book stores that they sell through, coming soon, my website will be updated. I've been working on that. I have someone working on it with me. And so eventually, in a few weeks, before the launch of Breaking Love, I'll have all the buy links for each country on my website as well. So that's,
That's wonderful. That is
for
definitely
sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And would you like to give out your website as well, or you want to wait until you upgrade it?
Sure. Well, it's there. People can look it up. It's www.mjsummersbooks.com. And
okay.
I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and under MJ Summers Books on both of those things is how people can find me. So, so that's thank you for letting me mention those things.
Oh, no problem, no problem. That's how we do our guests around here. You know, it's all about our guests when you come on Delicious Talk Radio, you know.
Yeah.
We do appreciate you coming on tonight. And anytime you want to come back, just hit me up. And, you know, waiting for your next book to come out. If you'd like to come back when you get that out, you know, feel free to get in touch with me as well. And
I do appreciate you
being on here tonight, and we're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our special guest this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. You're more than welcome. Jade or Jadino, do you have any closing remarks for our guests?
No, I know I'm going to start checking out more books in the way y'all was talking about them. You know, I could kind of see, even though I haven't read the books, I could see by y'all explaining them, I could tell y'all good writers.
Thank you.
And that's why I asked about the other thing, because, like, if you read a book and catch up, it's like I got to go back and get one. So I can see what happened beforehand. So that's
right.
The reason when you can do that, because a lot of people, like me, I don't have that kind of attention span, but if it's like that, I can do it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Jay, do you have any closing remarks for our guest? She must have her mute button on. Well, you know, like I said, we do appreciate your stopping by this evening, and, you know, hopefully the listeners that were listening will get your book from Amazon or your website, or, you know, we'll friend you on Facebook and, you know, just communicate with you and support you, you know, in your endeavors. And like I said, you're more than welcome to come back anytime. This is your second home. And
thank you.
Listeners out there, please support MJ Summers, okay? With that being said, Jadino, let everybody know what you do, darling.
Oh, I'm Jadino Blasco, Everything Art. I'm on Facebook. You can reach me on my Gmail at j.dinoblasco@gmail.com, or you can go on Facebook or Instagram. I'm going to have to do some of my Instagram name. It's real long because they're going to change it, try to add to it. But
okay.
I'm going to be exploding artistically. I'm having these artistic rants right now, and I'm just going to be doing everything this year. So I got a movie coming up called Ball, so I'm going to be doing special effects and starring it. So that's what's really hot on my plate right now.
All right. Jade, you'd like to let everybody know what you do, darling?
Oh, they can find us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Erotic Talk Radio, and we have a group page on Facebook, and it's called Erotic Talk Radio, so you can check us out there as well. Thank you.
All right, and you guys know who this is. This is Gail Delicious Johnson, the host, and I'm an author, poet, speaker, ghostwriter, just do everything, you know. But go to my website, which is jjpublishing.com. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y publishing.com. It's been revised. It's beautiful. And order my book, Back to Zero. You will not be disappointed. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And we've come to the end of our show. I just want to let everybody know that Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to either my co-hosts. You can send it to jddinoblasco, that's j.dinoblasco@gmail.com. Rhea is out. I don't know when she'll be back, but and in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And the topic is juicy. We're here for the 2 full hours of adult conversation. You know, so come back next Wednesday. Come back every Wednesday because we're definitely going to be, you know, having some interesting topics or interesting guests right here on Delicious Talk Radio, the segment Bringing Sexy Back. And remember, if you're drinking, don't drive. If you're driving, don't drink. I love talking to you guys, not about you. With that being said, have a beautiful weekend. Tell somebody you love them. I love you guys. And good night.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.